Conservative.
Christian. Mother. Wife.
Air Force veteran.
Gun rights advocate.
This is Stacey on the Right. Here's your host, Stacey Washington.
Welcome. And thank you so much to Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, retired, joining us from the National Police Association. Sergeant Betsy, thank you for your time.
Hey, Stacey, we have so much to talk about. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I know. I was looking. I'm like, oh, gosh, so much. So first off, let's start off with the NYPD. They have police academy classes, and apparently they're making some changes. What's going on?
Well, the city of New York has a horrible, they have a $4 billion shortfall. And so Mayor Eric Adams, who himself is quite beleaguered these days, you know, he's facing some corruption investigations, a sexual assault investigation, things like that. But he is going to have to make some really austere budget cuts throughout the city. And one of the things that he is going to do is cut the next five police academy classes. Now, NYPD has already lost over 2,500 police officers just this year. They're at record retirements. They are unable to retain many of their officers. A lot of officers are leaving before they even get their 20 years and can retire because they're just so fed up. They're on track to have just 29,000 police officers in 2025. Now, that's the lowest since the 90s, you know, crime heyday when Giuliani took over, ramped up the police department, and made New York one of the safest big cities in the nation, if not in the world. So it's just a perfect storm of so many bad things happening in New York. The cops can't take it. The prosecutor won't prosecute. And criminals are taking advantage of it.
So what's the ramification of canceling the police academy courses? Because I'm trying to figure out how that that does not help New Yorkers. It does not help public safety. Do people know that this is what's going on, that they're about to lose five classes worth of guys?
You know, I haven't seen a lot, talked about in the mainstream media. There's a great Substack out there called the American Peace Officer Substack, and he took a deep dive into this today to talk about how this all relates back to the migrant crisis, which, of course, you know, the reason that they have this $4 billion shortfall in their budget is because Eric Adams, after he got elected mayor, and remember, people elected him in large part because he was a former police officer, you know, he's a police captain, he did a lot of talk about law and order. But when he got elected, what did he do? He said, we're a sanctuary city. Everyone come to New York. And, of course, now he's saying stop coming to New York. But he is having to house, feed, clothe, and pay for all of these migrants that he encouraged to come to New York City. And so when, you know, he's making budget cuts elsewhere, but the NYPD cannot afford these personnel cuts. Police officers, they can't get out of there fast enough. There's never been, again, anything like this in the NYPD since the early 90s. And what cops in New York are doing, they're either leaving the profession altogether or they're going somewhere where they're going to be more appreciated, like Florida or Arizona or Wyoming or someplace like that. And I think Eric Adams I think he's being short-sighted, quite frankly. Plus, you know, he lost one of the best commissioners, I think, the NYPD has ever had in Commissioner Sewell. She bailed out, and she was a real strong leader. The cops liked her. And so the leader, they have a real leadership deficit in the NYPD. And when you combine that with a lack of cops, it's going to be disastrous. And it's going to be disastrous for the people. For the crime victims or potential crime victims, not just the cops.
Yeah. So by canceling the classes, that means incoming police officers, or do they just not have them because they're also having a staffing shortage?
They just will not have new recruit police officers. Now, they can, you know, try to hire from other agencies, but that's just not happening with the NYPD. The cops from New York are going to, they're going to other smaller police departments. So if you don't have an academy class, you don't have a police officer. I mean, you know, you've got, it's just like the military. You've got to go through this, you know, boot camp type thing, if you will. But the NYPD Police Academy is months. You know, we've been hearing for the last 3.5 years, our cops need to be better educated, more professional. They need better training. And so you can't put a police officer on the street who hasn't been to the police academy unless they have been a police officer somewhere else. But even then, they have got to train in how to do things the NYPD way. So 5 academy classes out the window, that's a large group of police officers that will not be patrolling the streets of New York.
So how many officers are in each class?
Well, it should be hundreds, but because the NYPD is having a hard time recruiting, you know, they'll have 50, 60 in a recruit class. And they also have, you know, they've changed their standards a lot. Juanita Holmes, who was in charge of training, she famously earlier this year, brought Cardi B to the police academy to help teach the recruits how to twerk. She thought that would get, I'm not kidding, thought that that would bring more people to the NYPD. Juanita Holmes also said, we're going to take the 1 mile run test not just out of the academy, but out of police testing, because no police officer ever runs a mile when they're chasing a bad guy. Now, she has since been reassigned, but there's talk that she is coming back. And she is part of that leadership deficit, this lack of understanding as to what makes a police officer and what the citizens of New York deserve to be answering their 911 calls and patrolling their streets. So the deficit of cops is going to, it's going to continue to fall. There will be no young people that are coming to, you know, to the NYPD via the police academy. And eventually, you know, they're either going to have to reduce standards so low, or they're going to have to turn this leadership problem around. And a lot of it's going to, you know, we always go back to politics, right? A lot of this, we're going to be talking about it in 2024. And as the November election, comes upon us, because some of these prosecutors that aren't doing their jobs, like Alvin Bragg, there's some potential to replace some of those, at least in the New York area.
I'm still trying to figure out how you have a year in which you have to make budget cuts, and instead of just putting migrants on aircraft, you hand them checks for $9,000 to $12,000 a month, and you cut your police academy class in a city that's suffering from rampant crime.
Right, absolutely. I just flew to Indianapolis from Tucson, Arizona this afternoon. And in Tucson, Arizona, you know, the airport's about 50 miles from the border. And as always, there was a huge line of migrants with brand new Nikes and brand new iPhones and their luggage and their manila envelopes. And they were going everywhere. They were getting on planes to go absolutely everywhere. I'm sure some of them were going to New York and Chicago, because Chicago is heading in the same direction as NYPD. They're trying still to get the migrants out of their police stations, and now that's a big controversy in Chicago, that the police department's trying to take back their district station so they can do police work. And, of course, Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago is blaming raggedy white supremacy for the crime in Chicago.
Raggedy.
Raggedy white supremacy. He was very specific about that.
Why does it have to be raggedy white supremacy? Isn't white supremacy raggedy enough on its own without that designation? Just ask.
Yeah, he is an interesting guy. That's all I can say about that. But you know, this is city after city after city where what's happening in New York is going to happen around the country.
Well, you know, I mean, I had a little chuckle at his descriptor, but it's not really white supremacy to think a police station should not house migrants. I mean, unless the migrants have committed crimes and they're going into the jail. It is a crime to be in the country illegally, so maybe you just put them in jail if they have to be in the police station. Just make it make sense.
We don't put murderers in jail. We literally had two murder suspects in my native Chicago this week that murdered a 15-year-old. They're both out with ankle monitors. They are not in the Cook County Jail awaiting trial. So we have lost sight, I think, of what's legal and illegal, what's right and what's wrong. And who's paying for it? The American public's paying for it.
Well, and the American public is paying for it twice, because when you let someone who's murdered a 15-year-old back out, they just go back and they murder somebody else. You know, they're not done. They have other people they need to kill. And so they go back out. And, you know, the ankle monitor doesn't actually prevent them from killing anybody. It's only supposed to just tell you where they are. So they just like, oh, I have an ankle monitor. And there's so many YouTube videos on how to take those off. So, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so let's...
This is where we're at.
There's nothing more we can do except, you know, that we can laugh a little bit and, you know, cry on the inside. So now, this one I thought was pretty funny. You're sharing with us that Philadelphia has now banned wearing ski masks in public places. Now, it is cold in Philadelphia.
It is cold in Philadelphia. So what's happening in Philadelphia? I find the whole thing so fascinating there. I spend a lot of time looking at what's happening in Philadelphia because it's such a beautiful city. But it is, you know, it's a hard left, longtime Democrat run city. And what they're doing right now is, you know, they've got a new mayor coming in. So Mayor Kenney he's going to be leaving. And they have a new mayor-elect, Sherelle Parker. Some of the council's with her, some of the council isn't. But what they have done is proposed an ordinance that you cannot wear a ski mask, and everybody knows what that looks like, right? You know, where you just, your eyes are out, or a baklava, which is basically kind of what people were wearing when COVID first came out, kind of like a bandana almost. And they're saying that you can't wear these face coverings in certain parts of the city, parks, schools, public transit. You know, we used to have laws like this. You couldn't wear a mask into a bank. That was in almost every state. You could not wear a ski mask into a bank. You could not wear a ski mask into a gas station, you know, unless you were in Anchorage, Alaska in February. And, you know, there are states like Virginia, Florida, Georgia, they all have these laws. But what's happening in Philadelphia is there have been so many shootings and carjackings and other violent crimes done by people in ski masks that their far left city council said, we're going to do something about this. And you combine that with the mayor-elect Parker. She, while she was running, she talked a lot about laws like this. She also talked about stop ID and frisk. She even explained at a debate what a Terry stop is, what reasonable suspicion is. She wants to strengthen her police department. And yes, she wants more gun control, but she wants her police officers to be able to go out and arrest people. So, of course, the ACLU has already stepped in and said, hey, Philadelphia, if your city council passes this law, we're going to object to it because we believe stopping and talking to people with ski masks on is going to criminalize young people of color. And so there's quite a debate going on in Philadelphia.
My gosh. I'm just trying to figure out what kind of nincompoops are sitting around saying, you know, we know people are committing crimes and they're wearing ski masks, but we don't want to criminalize people who are wearing ski masks. So instead of just making an announcement that stop and frisk is back, if you're wearing a ski mask, you're going to get stopped and frisked. And then people will put hats on, right? You just put a hat on. You might wrap a scarf around your face, right? A scarf that you can easily pull down, but no ski mask. It would completely change the way that these people behave.
Absolutely. And they even make, there's exceptions in the ordinance for things like a medical mask. Or they even have an exception in the ordinance for a protest, which I thought was kind of ironic. But you can go ahead and wear your ski mask at a protest. And they, you know, in the ordinance, they talk about the First Amendment. But I do wish that the city council and the mayor-elect would maybe, before they start passing more laws, maybe they just reach out to their district attorney, Larry Krasner, and say, hey, could you put some more people in jail? Like, maybe that would help with all of our shootings, all of our carjackings, all of our violent crime, because crime in Philadelphia is reaching epic levels, and there's a lot of juvenile crime, and it's primarily violent. And I appreciate that Mayor-elect Parker and some of her council members want to do something about it. But there's a lot more they can do than just getting rid of ski masks. I think that'll just end up in court, and then I have to wonder what they're going to do when if they bring back COVID restrictions.
Mm. Well, so the bringing back of the COVID restrictions, it doesn't seem like there's, you know, to be quite frank, it doesn't seem like that's a thing, honestly.
Well, let's hope.
I mean, let's hope, sure. But I'm just saying it's been, you know, the I've noticed that we're into the winter and there are some people who are wearing masks, you know, out of the goodness of their own heart. The masks are, you know, back out in the boxes or next to the door when you come in and all that, but not many people are wearing them. I mean, like one out of every, you know, if you look around the hospital, there's one person out of all the people walking around. So.
Right, right. And the you know, we saw this during the pandemic, law enforcement did, when everybody started wearing a mask, including us, we were wearing it. And then as it dropped off, we started to notice, you still see it in crime videos all the time now, where criminals use that mask, you know, because we're all used to seeing people in masks. They use it as a way to further their criminal activity. And you know, that's another reason that I appreciate what Philadelphia, what the council and the mayor-elect are trying to do, because we've gotten too used to seeing masked people. Remember, I mean, think about it. 5-6 years ago, if you'd have walked into your bank and there's some guy in a mask, you'd have bolted out the door and called 911. And we're too used to seeing people in masks, and we're too used to allowing people to hide their faces, and now they do it regularly in the commission of their crimes.
Well, I mean, we're making that possible, though. So the best mm-hmm. thing for us to do is to stop it. That's what we have to do. We have to stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. But the ACLU wants to make sure that anyone who wants to wear a ski mask, but they don't even talk about just your right to wear a covering on your face. They bring it back to race. That somehow an ordinance that you can't wear a ski mask or a baklava, just in certain areas, again, just in certain areas where there's a lot of violent crime in Philadelphia, that this will criminalize young people of color, and they're very specific about that. which I find really racist, to be quite honest, because kind of what they're intimating is that it's young people of color who are committing crime. And I, you know, we hear so much talk about that, that people commit crime because they're poor. People commit crime because they're people of color. I find that classist. I find it racist. And you know, that's why I appreciate the council fighting back against this, because I think the ACLU is dead wrong on this issue, like they are on most.
Yeah. Yeah. dead wrong. And also making something that is, it's a no-brainer into like rocket science. Just stop it, right? Just stop allowing people to wear masks into banks and places where thefts are more prevalent. It's not just a no-brainer. I think saying no-brainer has become something that people just discount. It's a must-do. Take your brain out of it. Just do what's right. What's right is you don't allow people to wear masks into places where it might then contribute to, you know, a theft. Just is that simple. But nowadays, theft is prevalent in Target, Walgreens, CVS, Nordstrom, Gucci. You know, name the place, the spectrum, and theft is prevalent there. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And plus, so many of these crimes committed they're seeing in Philadelphia and elsewhere, like Washington D.C. The crimes are violent. You know, you look at all the carjacking videos or hear the descriptions, read the police reports. 9 times out of 10, the carjackers are wearing masks as well. And that's going to get more prevalent as the weather gets colder and people feel more comfortable covering their faces as they commit their theft or their violent crime.
The answer to that is for people who are being victimized to pull out firearms and to defend themselves.
Yes, ma'am. Exactly. Exactly. But
once
so many
that
of these
starts
cities,
to happen, right? Once that starts to happen, the criminals
absolutely
will be like, oh, I'm not looking to, you know, I just wanted to carjack a little. The little repeat carjackers where they go and they spend 5 hours in one day and they just carjack car after car after car. They're not stealing them. They're not taking them to chop shops. They're just carjacking for the fun of it, for the thrill of taking your car from you and also taking something from you like your phone or your watch or your wallet. And, you know, it's time for people to start coming in hot with defensive mechanisms. You got to defend yourself.
But, you know, I think people are they don't know what's going to happen to them on the prosecution side when they do that. We just had an on-duty FBI agent carjacked and relieved of his G car this week in Washington, D.C. And they got away with his body armor and his radio. I've got to presume that he was armed, but he took no enforcement action. And you know what they did? They took his car, they banged it all up, smashed it up, and then abandoned it, but took his body armor and his radio. And that's a trained, armed federal agent. It's just gotten out of control.
Wow. So is there any information as to why he didn't,
The FBI has not so far been forthcoming on that information. So I don't know if we'll find out or not. But, you know, this is on the heels of Joe Biden's granddaughter's Secret Service agents shooting at not carjackers, but car burglars who were trying to burglarize one of their Secret Service surveillance cars. However, we just recently found out that car was unoccupied, and it's against policy and probably against the law for them to shoot at car burglars. In other words, people trying to break into an unoccupied vehicle. But, you know, crime in the district, crime in Washington, D.C. is again, just like, you know, carjackings are up 800%. Juvenile crime is out of control. And, you know, we're now we're seeing federal agents, off-duty police officers, and of course elected officials now becoming the victim of crime. So we keep thinking every week, oh well, something's going to happen now because so and so got victimized. But so far, not so much.
Yeah, it's a rarity. I guess, you know, the thing that we can't really account for is how much of what we're seeing is a direct result of them making it illegal to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really account for it. We don't know.
No, but we, you know, we continue to collect the data, and brave people like Dr. John Lott, you know, the author of More Guns, Less Crime, you know, continues to speak out about these issues and bring the real statistics. And we know that in places like out west, like Arizona, where I live, or Wyoming, or even in Missouri, places where you have Florida, open carry, constitutional carry laws, people are safer than they are in places like Chicago, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Portland, Oregon.
Yep, because the criminals know the law just as well as the citizens, probably even better.
Exactly.
They really know, they know what they can get away with. And I can only speak for Missouri. We're Castle Doctrine, stand your ground. The whole nine yards. So you can defend yourself in your vehicle. If you feel your life is at issue, you have the right to defend yourself. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it should be, that should be the law everywhere. And people should feel emboldened to be able to protect themselves in that manner. And that's, if there's no, if criminals don't fear going to prison, then they should fear their fellow citizens that they're pondering victimizing, people like you and me. Because that's the thing. There are so many people that don't carry a gun, but there are so many more that do. Black Friday, they did more federal background checks on Black Friday than they've done any day this year, because people are fed up and they're really starting to bring that mindset home that I guess if we don't have enough cops in my neighborhood and the prosecutor's not going to prosecute somebody for stealing or stealing my car or breaking into my home, then I'm going to have to, I have to take care of the situation myself. And you have a right to protect yourself and protect your family and protect your property. And obviously more and more Americans are taking advantage of that.
Yep. More and more Americans are taking advantage, and I hope even more will. I don't want to see anybody victimized. I certainly don't want to see people, having to use their firearms to defend themselves. But that is why you have a firearm. And if Jesus had his disciples carrying swords, because obviously they did, because Peter cut the centurion's ear off and Jesus had to pop it back on and heal it so he wouldn't go to prison for the rest of his life or be stoned to death. So we know even back then it was biblical to carry something to protect yourself. So if it was good enough for the disciples, it's good enough for me. That's what I always say when people are like, oh, I don't know if I believe. I'm like, you know what? If it was good enough for Jesus' disciples, it's good enough for me. Thank you.
Amen.
Sergeant Betsy Branner-Smith, you have been amazing to join us tonight. Again, it's always so good to have you here, especially keeping us up to date on these underreported stories. So glad you're doing the work over at the National Police Association. Everyone should check out the National Police Association. It's nationalpolice.org, nationalpolice.org. Thank you, Sergeant Betsy.